And we're holding on Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. We've been discussing the question of when there is a shtar choiv that the Yoshim inherit, that their father was owed money, and now they've Yoshim the shtar choiv. What are the rules as far as a Bechor collecting a double portion from that debt when it's paid off? So we had various opinions. Whether he is able to collect from that, because it's concerned. Now we established before that a Bechor can collect only a double portion, only from Muchzak, only from property that's in the father's possession when he passed away, not Rory, not money that is likely to come or is going to come to the father's possession, but isn't actually in his possession yet. But we said that when it's a Milva Beshtar, then at least according to Rebbe, we would say that he does get a double portion from it. And the Chachamim disagreed. The last thing we brought in that connection was a Braisa that says that a Bechor would be able to collect a double portion from the Milva or from the Milva as well as from the Ribis. So either we're talking about that it's a Shtar Choiv where Goy owes him money and he's collecting Ribis, or we're talking about, even as we said yesterday, it may conceivably be involving a Yid, and we're talking about Ribis, so we're talking about Avak Ribis, we're talking about the kind of Ribis which is only also Dirabanan, where therefore if the other guy pays it, then Beis Din doesn't force the lender to return it. So we said though that Shmuel had said that no, that we don't say that he gets a double portion of it because it's not considered muhsak. Even though there was a shtar, nevertheless we wouldn't say, so Shmuel holds, Shmuel says within the view of the Chachamim, it wouldn't be considered muhsak. So the Gemara continues, Sholcho Mitam, they sent a message from there, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, Bechor Noto Pishnayim Milva, Avaloi Beribis. That the Bechor will get a double portion of the milva itself, of the money that was lent and the shtar itself, but not of the ribis. Even though the ribis is written in the shtar, and again, let's say we're talking, to keep things simple, let's say we're talking about a shtar involving, and let's say we're talking about ribis daraisa involving a goy, plain old ribis ktsutza, and it's actually written in the shtar that he's going to pay with X percent extra per year or whatever it is. So even though that's written in the shtar, nevertheless, and even though the time has already passed, so on the face of it, you should consider it, muhsak, but no, because the Rashbam explains, because the fact is, the father never had that money. The point is, the money is something that's extra, that's supposed to be paid above and beyond the amount that he lent. So the money that he lent him is the exact same amount of money he's getting back. That can be considered muhsak because he has a shtar. But in effect, the shtar is like a mashkan. But when it comes to the ribis, then not. Now, this disagrees. Now, the Rashbam points out that this Sholcho Mitam, this opinion of the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, disagrees with what Shmuel had said. We had just said that Shmuel had said that the Bechor does not get a double portion of the milva. Here, the Sholcho Mitam is saying that he does get a double portion of the milva itself, just not of the ribis. So the Gemara continues, Laman, well, according to whom, according to which of the opinions of the Tanoim are the Sholcho Mitam, the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, talking about? Ilem L'Rabbanan, if you're telling me that their opinion is according to, is within the Rabbanan's opinion, why should he be getting the actual double portion of the milva itself either? Hash the shvach of the isibir shusay, madach the shvach that is in his rishus. We talked about yesterday shvach of the osim emela, when you have improvements in the value of something that comes on its own. And we said, for example, a tree that became fatter, the Chachamim will agree that he gets a double portion of the improved value of the tree because it's still a tree. But we said, for example, when it changes names, for example, when it goes from being shachas, from unripe grain, to ripe grain, then not. So even, and all of that belonged all along to the father, and still the Chachamim are saying that he doesn't get a double portion, and yet the Chachamim say he doesn't get it. Milvim Iboya. How could you possibly say, according to the Chachamim, that he would get a double portion of the milva? Ella LeRebbe. So evidently the Sholcho Mitam's opinion must be within Rebbe's opinion. Well, the question is, will the Rebbe be Rebbe Sloy? Well, so according to Rebbe, why should he not be entitled, why should the Bechor not be entitled to a double portion of the Rebbe's? V'hatanya, Rebbe Yomer Bechor no topi shnayim ben memilcha ben meribis. Rebbe clearly says in a braisa that the Bechor does get a double portion of the milva and of the ribis. So the Shulchan Mitam obviously can't be going according to Rebbe. So the answer is La'olam Rabbanan. He, in fact, you could say that the Shulchan Mitam is according to the Chachamim. It's true that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion of the Shvach, even Shvach of the Osim and Meila, as we learned yesterday. Nevertheless, Milva commanded Gavya Damya. Nevertheless, you would say that a milva is considered as though it's already collected. So therefore, it's considered as though it's already, as though it was already collected by the father while he was alive, and therefore that, and therefore the Chachamim would say in that case, then the Bechor would be entitled to a double portion of it. So the Rashbam points out, so again, the Shulchan Mitam obviously disagrees with Shmuel, so then in the end, the Gemara's Maskane is both of them are arguing within the Chachamim's opinion. So the question is, within Rebbe's opinion, there would be no question. Sure, you should be able to get a double portion of the milva, and even, as we just said, of the ribis. But according to the Chachamim, who hold that he doesn't get, that he doesn't get shtvach of the asim amela, well, how does that apply to a milva? Shmuel is going to take the view, okay, so you have a shtar. So what? The shtar is just a piece of paper. The actual loan hasn't been collected yet, therefore it's only roi. Whereas the Shulchan Mitam are going to hold that the fact that you have a paper, the fact that you have a shtar, means as if it was already collected. Then the Rashbam brings an explanation that some people wanted to explain, that they're not actually arguing, rather they're talking about respectively a loan involving a yid versus a loan involving a goy. Where the idea would be then that Shmuel's din, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, would be where he lent money to a yid, and the Shulchan Mitam would be talking about where he lent it to a goy. Because after all, Shmuel didn't mention anything about ribis. He just said the milva. So we're talking about a loan to a yid where there's no ribis involved. Whereas the Shulchan Mitam would be talking about a loan lent to a goy where there's ribis involved. On the other hand, the Rashbam says no, because a milva of Yisrael, you have more of a certainty that he's going to pay back, as opposed to a goy, unfortunately, is more likely to default on his loan. Ashapim dibeshav, as the pasuk says, that their mouths speak lies. So therefore, if anything, a milva to Yisrael would be more of a certainty. So rather, if they are in fact arguing, and the question is whether the milva can be considered already collected by virtue of the shtar or not. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Omelet of Acha bar Rav l'Ravina. Ikla ha-meimel astrin, said of Acha bar Rav tells Ravina, a meimer visited our town, the Dorish, and he darshin, that the din is like the, similar to what the Shulchan Mitam said, b'chor noto pishnayim b'milva avaloi b'ridis, that the b'chor would get a double portion of the outstanding loan when it's paid back, but even though the father didn't have the money in his lifetime, because again, like the Rashbam said, the Svara before, because the father did have that money at one point and then he lent it out, so therefore it can still be considered his when it's being returned now. It can still be considered mochzek. Avaloi b'ribis, but not from the ribis, because the ribis was never in the father's possession, and therefore it can't be considered part of what the b'chor gets a double portion. Omaleh, so Ravina points out to Rav Acha, Nahadoi l'tamayu, the Chachamim of Nahadoi are going according to their Svara. Amemar, as the Gemara mentions in various places, comes from Nahadoi, Da'omar Rabba, as in fact we find that Rabba says, Hagoyes Habach changes it to Rav Nachman, really, because Rav Nachman was from Nahadoi. Rabba, we don't specifically find, was from Nahadoi. So Rabba or Rav Nachman says, Govu Karka, it depends how they collected the loan. If the Yisraelim collected the loan with land, Yeshloi, then the Bechor does get a double portion of that. Govu Mois Einloi, but if they collected money, then, but if they collected So here, actually, what Hagoyse Bach does is he switches around the opinions. He switches around the order of the opinions. Rabba says, so here, let's stick with the gear says, we have it in front of us. Rabba says that if he collected karka in payment of a loan, then the bechor is going to be entitled to a double portion of that karka because there was a shibud on that karka to begin with, and therefore it's considered as though he already had a chazak on them. And again, this is muchzak, and the bechor gets a double portion. But if they collected money in payment of the debt, ein loy, then the bechor is not going to get a double portion of that money because the metalplin are not under a shibud to the baal choyd. Eventually, in the times of the Gaonim, they made a takana that everything of the baal choyds is mishubud to the lender. So then once that was done, because there came a point during the time of the Gaonim where the average Jew didn't own land anymore for various reasons. So then we would say that there's a chazaka on the metalplin as well. But at least in the times of the Gemara, there was a chazaka only on karka. Rav Nachman says, on the contrary, Govel Mois Yeshloi, Govel Kauka Einloi. On the contrary, Rav Nachman says, if he collected money, then the Bechor is entitled to a double portion of the money, because he gave him money to begin with, he lent him money, and he's returning him money. But if he gave him karka, then the bechor should not be entitled to a double portion of it, because that's not the same thing that he lent him. So now this is new karka, therefore, that he didn't have in his possession before. So now, Rav Nachman, being from Nahuda, Amemar is also from Nahuda, so therefore, sort of, Inna points out that there's a similarity in their opinions. The Rashbam actually points out that when Amemar said, there is a difference, though. Amemar just said Bechor Noto Pishnayim. He didn't make that distinction between Karka and Mois. All we're saying, in other words, is that, according to the Rashbam, that Amemar wants us to know he does not hold like Shmuel. Shmuel, by the way, was from Nahadah as well. But the point is, in other words, Amemar wants us to know he's not really taking a stand on what Rabba versus Rav Nachman are saying in terms of whether if he pays back in karka or mois. Amemar would say either way, the Bechor does get a double portion of the loan that was paid back. All he's saying is Shmuel had said he doesn't get a double portion of any of that at all, and Amemar is saying I disagree with that. So Amemar is not necessarily arguing, according to the Rashbam, with either of the opinions over here of Rabba or of Rav Nachman. Tosfos actually, first of all, has a different explanation of the machloikas of Rav Nachman and Rabba. One reason is, Tosfos says, so here, the Rashbam had given the reason because according to Rabba, we would say that money is not under a shibud and land is, whereas Rav Nachman would say, yeah, but he lent him money, he didn't lend him karka. Tosfos says Rav Nachman's rationale would be because a baal choyv usually pays money and doesn't pay karka. Therefore, he can be considered more of a muchzik by the money because you're usually so mechan that you're going to get the money. Karka, which is not usually paid as a debt, so therefore it wouldn't be considered muchzak because you don't have such a smichus on it in the first place. Tosfos also points out that how do you say Nahadori Latamayo, the Nahadori are going to the, according to their shitta, if you're telling me in the end that Amemar is not really arguing with Rabba and he's kind of taking a middle ground between Rabba and Rav Nachman and saying either way the debt is paid off, either way the Bechor gets a double portion of it, then it doesn't really fit to say that he and Rav Nachman are both following the same opinion. So Tosfos explains that again, since Rav Nachman himself would say he himself is going to hold. Now we're going to point out in the Gemara soon that all of this discussion may only be according to one opinion. So Rav Nachman himself would hold that whether they got karka or mois, so then we can say that Amemar is following that opinion. So that's the Gemara says. Amalei Abaya L'Rabba L'Didoch Kasha L'Rab Nachman Kasha. So Abaya asks Rabba, so you're telling me you and Rab Nachman have your respective opinions whether if the debt is paid off in karka and in mos, whether the Bechor gets a double portion. It seems that there's a question on both your opinion and on Rab Nachman's opinion. So once the Gemara answers that question, then we'll see what Rab Nachman himself actually holds. And again, like Tosfos says, Rab Nachman himself, Lamaskana, may hold exactly like a Meimar that whether it was Karka or Morris involved, either way, he's getting the double portion. Anyway, L'didach Kasha, So Abaya asks, according to your opinion, Rabba, that you're saying if the debt was paid off in land, then the Bechor gets a double portion, but not if it was paid off in money. Well, according to you, Rabba, you have to ask, Maishna Mois, Delois, why are you telling me by money that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion? Delab Hani Mois Shavakavoin, because you're going to say that the father didn't leave these exact coins, because after all, Milvah Lahid saw Nitna, when the father lent out the money, that money has since been spent, and now the Loiva is paying back with other money. Well, you could say the same thing with Karka. Karka Nami Holav Karka Shavak Avuhin. Well, the fact is, their father didn't leave this land either. The fact is, the Loiva could have paid off with money instead. So how can you call the land Muchzef just because he had a Shibud on it? It's true he had a shibud, but the fact is he could have instead. He didn't have to use that shibud. He could instead have. He could instead have paid off with money. At the end of Ar Masechta, the Gemara is going to point out you have a whole discussion about whether shibud or deraisa is the concept that you have a shibud that you have a shibud on karka, is that concept daraisa? So over here then the question is, in particular, that Rabbeinu Yonah explains that that's part of a Abaya's question. He holds shibud alav daraisa. Why is there a distinction between karka and money? And he continues, v'oid, furthermore, the question is, ha'atu da'amrit, didn't you yourself say, mistaber taima de b'nei ma'arava, that the rationale, the explanation of the b'nei ma'arava, of the chacham of Eretz Yisrael, that we said before, we talked about before, sholchom itam, and we're going to talk about, beginning at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to say a case involving a case of nechosim that are going to be inherited, which are going to be inherited in the future, involving an old woman, which we're going to start talking about at the bottom of the Amud, where in that case the kodim savta v'zabna zvina zvini, if this old woman were to sell those nechosim, and then it would be a sale. The case that Gemara is going to talk about, it's going to be on Amud Beis, is that a man had said, I'm giving all my nechosim to my grandmother, but after her, meaning I don't want it to be that from her it's going to just go as an uninterrupted nachla to her descendants. I want that she's going to have what's called a life estate in it, and then after she passes away, then the man says, then I want it to go to my regular yoshin. So now you have a He had a daughter who passed away, who would have inherited him, and she passed away while that grandmother was alive, and then later on the husband comes and claims that, after all, I should be the one to Yarshin through my wife, and the question is whether it's valid. We're going to talk about that on Omid Beis, and we're going to mention there's a point that the Bnei Ma'arava made that after all, the old woman could have sold it while she was still alive, and it would have been a valid sale. So therefore, Abaya asks Rabba, so you're telling me in connection with that opinion seems very reasonable. So therefore, so the property can only be considered roi. So by the same token over here, how can you consider the karka to be muchzak, and therefore that the bechor should get a double portion of what was paid off, of what the debt was paid off with? So where it comes out from that, where it comes out from that story, that the fact is, as long as it could have been sold, as long as it could have been given away, then it's not considered mochzek. The words ha'atu de'amrit are in parenthesis, because instead you have a girsa, which the Rashbam seems to have had that girsa as well, not ha'atu de'amrit, you, spoken in second person, are the one who said, which Abaya, being a Talmud of Rabbah, shouldn't be speaking that way to his Rebbe, but rather ha'omer mar. Didn't the Rebbe say, meaning you Rabbah, who are my Rebbe, didn't you say that? The point is, again, from that story, as we see on Amud Beis, we're going to see that it's possible to sell or give away the property or whatever, and therefore it's not considered muhsat, and that has implications as far as the question of who yarshins it in the end. So the same way over here, Abaya says, then it's possible for the loiva to sell that property or give it away or whatever, and instead to pay off the debt with money. So how can you consider that land to be muhsat? So Rishonim point out, I mean, there is a bit of a distinction. In that story over there, she could prevent the next stage in the Yerusha of happening at all. Here, after all, if the loiva sells the karka, the shib would still remains on it. But still, after all, he's able to pay in a different way, so therefore it doesn't matter. And again, the question would be, the question can also be, the Ritual points out, within the opinion that Shibud Adlav Daraisa, if we say that Shibud is Daraisa, then we have more reason to say that that's a strong enough thing, that therefore the Malva can be considered to already own that property to a certain degree, and therefore that his Bechor should get a double portion of it. But if we say Shibud Adlav Daraisa, so then he doesn't really have, on a Daraisa level, any connection with that property at all, and so the question is why the Bechor should be getting a double portion of it. So we have in that case Mistaba Tamid of Neymar Rava, the Kodim Savta Vizabna, that if the old woman were to sell property, Zvina Zvini, it would be a valid sale. So therefore Sabaya is asking Rabba, so you're making a distinction between whether the loan was paid off in money or in property in karka, but why should there be that difference? First of all, the fact is either way it's not the same money and it's not the same karka. And second of all, anyway, based on your own opinion in that case of the old woman and the nechassim, you're saying that there's no chazaka on it as long as the property has not actually reached the possession of the person who's supposed to inherit it. So that's the question on you, Rabbah. Then Abaya continues, Rav Nachman Kasha, and the question would also be on Rav Nachman, who makes the opposite distinction, who says that if they collected money if they collected money in payment of the debt, then the Bechor does get a double portion of it, because after all, he lent him money and he's receiving back money. Whereas if they paid off the debt in karka, then Rav Nachman says he doesn't get a double portion because he never lent him karka in the first place. Well, Abaya says there's a kasha on that as well. First of all, Maishna karka deloy, the labho karka shavak avuhin. So why is it you're saying that land, he wouldn't be entitled to a double portion because he didn't lend him land, he lent him money? Well, again, the same thing with the money. It's not the same money that he lent him, because again, milva lo hitzal nitna. So why should one be considered more muchzak than the other? And furthermore, continues Abaya, Ha'omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Baravua, didn't Rav Nachman himself say in a different connection, Yisoimim Shagavu Kalka B'chovas Avihen, that if Yisoimim collected land in payment of a debt that was owed to their father, meanwhile their father also owed money to somebody else, then we have Shibuda Rav Nosson, where then Baal Choyv, Choyz of a Goyva Mehan, a different Baal Choyv, the Baal Choyv to whom their father owes the money can go and collect that karka from them. Now usually you don't collect karka from Yisoimim. The Yisoimim, the Metalplin of Yisoimim are definitely not under a Shibud to a Baal Choyv. But even as far as the karka, if they bought it, if they had bought karka after their father passed away, a Baal Choyv wouldn't be able to collect from that, because at the time when their father passed away, it was metaltlin, and those metaltlin were never under a shibud to the Baal Choyv. And yet Reb Nachman is saying that the Baal Choyv can collect it from them. So therefore, we see that the land does not become, we see that the land is not muhzak, that the, we see that the land, we go according to its status when the father passed away, and at that point it was mois. Well, by the same token then, when in our case, when the loan was paid off with money or with karka, why should there be a difference whether the Baal Choyv gets a double portion one way or the other? Now, it comes out from what the Rashbam is saying, that a Baal Choyv doesn't collect from Roy, he doesn't collect from something that could eventually be in the possession of the Yisoyimim, if right now it's not. So not all Rishonim agree with that point, and there are other explanations of what exactly Abai's question is according to that. The point is, in other words, that according to Reb Nachman, we're saying that they collected karka after the father passed away, and it's still considered to be in their possession because of the shibud. And yet, Reb Nachman is saying that if he collected karka, then it's not considered to be muhzak as far as the bechor getting a double portion. So Abai is asking then how according to Reb Nachman is that going to work? How is Reb Nachman not contradicting himself? Omalei, so Rabbah answers, loydli di kasha v'loylo Reb Nachman kasha. In fact, there's no question on me or on Reb Nachman. Taimed neimar Rava kamrinan, because both I and Reb Nachman are talking about to explain what the reason of neimar Rava is in that case, where we said that the Bechor is going to get a double portion of the milva. The long way, Svirulon, we in fact don't hold that way. We would in fact hold like Shmuel, that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion, that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion at all, not even of the Milva itself, let alone the Ribis, and not whether it was Karka or whether it was Mois. Either way, so we were only explaining what the, when we said Sholchom Mitam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael. So we said within their opinion that they said he can collect the loan, but not from the Ribis. So Rabbah and Reb Nachman were arguing within that, would that mean that they collect only in the case where it was paid in money, or only in the case of Karka, and they're arguing which one is which. But we ourselves don't hold like that at all. We ourselves hold like Shmuel, that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion of the milva at all. So the Rashbam goes on to explain a long explanation of why Reb Nachman makes the distinction that he does over here, whether he collected karka or mois, because again, it has to do with the question of when we have over here, as we just talked about, where the Yisoyimim went and bought property. Can we consider? So we just said that the Baal Choyv of their father can collect that property from them, even though it was only Mois at the time their father passed away. So we have Shibudah Dirab Nosin involved, because since the money was owed to their father, and in turn their father owed somebody else money, then that land can be taken away and given because of that. So the Rashbam gives a long explanation of how then, when Reb Nachman is saying that there's a difference between whether they collected karka and mois, again, that would only be according to B'nai Ma'arava. Reb Nachman himself would hold that either way, the property is not considered muhzak at the time of their passing. It's only considered roy, and therefore, the Bechor wouldn't get a double portion of it. Tosfos then also goes into a long discussion of this explanation of the Rashbam, disagrees with Rashbam on several points of it, in particular. So for one thing, Tosfos brings up the point actually, that at some length over here, we would say that when we say they're only going according to Bnei Ma'arava, that no, on the contrary, that both Rav Nachman and Rabbah would actually hold that whether they collect karka or mos, we would say that he doesn't get a double portion of it. Well, actually, no. So that is actually what Rashbam himself had said. So first of all, within the Rashbam's opinion. So now we've covered all of Abaya's question. You're asking what's the difference between Karka and Mois, because again, Rabba would say there really is no difference. The Bnei Ma'arava are going to say he collects the milva, so therefore you need to draw that distinction. But according to Shmuel, who holds that either way, the Bechor doesn't get a double portion, then either way he's not collecting whether the loan was paid off in money. Or in Karka, either way, he's not getting a double portion. As far as Yustira, as far as the case of Bnei Ma'arava that the Gemara is going to talk about soon. So the difference is that there wasn't a shibud yet because there was no loan involved. Whereas over here there is a shibud involved. And then the question of Rav Nachman again is Rav Nachman would hold that there's no distinction. Rav Nachman would hold according to Shmuel. So that's all according to the Rashbam, and here you have Tosfos has a bunch of questions. One of Tosfos's questions, Tosfos's first question is actually, it's called Ikur Chosim and Asefer. Then in that case, an essential thing is missing from the Gemara's proof. The Gemara should have mentioned exactly the point that there's a difference between whether you're collecting for a loan or whether in the case that the Gemara is going to talk about next, where there was no loan involved in the first place. Tosfos goes into a long discussion of the Svara of the Gemara. So either way, we're saying again, whether it was paid in karka or whether it was paid in money, either way, because shibud alav daraisa, therefore it doesn't really matter. He's not getting a double portion. As far as only the Bnei Ma'arava are going to make that distinction. And then Tosfos goes and discusses the whole sugya in some detail and says, Tosfos says in particular that the Bnei Ma'arava themselves would hold in the case that the Gemara is going to bring next. Rabba himself is saying the Svara that if she were to sell it, then it would be a valid sale. Therefore, you can't say it's muhzak for her husband, for the daughter's husband to inherit it in the first place. But here the Gemara is saying is that no, to begin with, there's no shibud over here. So therefore, it's only Roy, as opposed to the Yisraelim collected karka to pay off their father's debt. We're going to consider it meshubad to their father. It is meshubad to their father, and therefore it's considered as to belong to their father already. And Tosfos goes on to discuss various other details within that. That's all within Rabba's opinion. And then Rav Nachman would hold that either way he actually does get a double portion in it. So that's Tosfos had explained before that Rav Nachman would hold that either way he does. Now, according to the Rashbam, it comes out Rav Nachman would say, either way, the Bechor doesn't get a double portion. Tosfos had asked in that case, how could the Gemara say that a Meimar, who says that he does, holds like Rav Nachman? Now, according to Tosfos' explanation, it becomes clearer because Rav Nachman, in fact, would hold that either way he gets a double portion. Within the opinion of Bnei Ma'arava, he's drawing a distinction between Karka and Mois, but according to Rav Nachman himself, he would hold that either way the Bechor gets a double portion. So the Gemara brings my savta. What is this case involving the old woman with the grandmother? So the case is Dahu de Amalahu. There was a person who said before he passed away, Nechose l'savta. My nechosim should go to my grandmother. So it was one of his grandmothers. Rashbam points out it could have been his father's mother, could have been his mother's mother. Doesn't matter. Anyway, ubasra. But after she passes away, l'yorsoi, then I want it to go to my regular yoshim. So in other words, these are cases we're going to talk about in more detail later on in our parak. Various cases involving that. Where a person says, for example, that I want my nechosim to go to you as long as you're alive, but then after 120, I don't want it to continue going to your yoshim. I want it to go back through the regular seder of Yerusha to my yoshim. So here there was something like that. So he's saying, as long as she's alive, I want the nechosim to belong to her, but once she passes away, instead of them going to her yoshim, I want them to revert back to my family line, and they'll go down to my yoshim in the usual way. Now, Havilei Brata Dehava Nesiva. Now, this man who said this had a daughter who was married. Shchiva b'chaye bailo b'chaye savta. That daughter passed away while her husband was alive and while the grandmother was alive. Later on, Bosa de Shchiva Savta, later on, after the grandmother passed away, Osa Baal Kotova, the husband is coming and claiming that he should be entitled to those Nechosim. So he's saying, when the guy made his will, his daughter was still alive. Now, the daughter is his Yodish, because the man had no other children, no other descendants, so his daughter is his Yodishus. So therefore, he's arguing that that's exactly it. The grandmother has passed away, now it goes to his Yodish, which is my wife. And since my wife has since passed away, then I should Yaushin for her, as we learned earlier in the parak, that a husband Yaushins from his wife. So, So Rav Huna says that works, because when the man said that I wanted to go to my yoshim, that means even if it ends up being only to the yoshim of my yoshim. So meaning, in other words, that we would say she was supposed to be his yodish, her husband is the yodish of the yodish. And therefore, therefore, Rav Nachman says that yes, the husband is entitled, the husband would be entitled to those nechosim. So now Tosfos compares this with, again, we're going to learn later on in the perek, we're going to learn about cases like this involving acharecha and achre acharecha, etc. So that's a little bit different, because that's a little bit different where he actually explicitly says what's going to be after the person after you. But here we're talking about where he just said after the grandmother, it should go back to my yoshim. So Rav Huna is saying that it can go to his to the husband of his daughter as well. Anyway, that was Rav Huna. But Rav Onan amar liyarsoi v'lo liyarsi yarsoi. Whereas Rav Onan had said that no, it would go to his yoshim, but not to the yoshim of his yoshim. So it means, in other words, basically the question is, whichever of his yoshim are alive at the time his grandmother passes away, or does he mean whichever yoshim are alive at the time when he makes the will? So at the time he made the will, his daughter was still alive. But by the time the grandmother has passed away, she has passed away before her. So therefore, Rav Onan says that no, he means anybody who's alive when the grandmother dies, then they're going to get the nechosim. So if the daughter was alive or any other relative of his, then they would be yarsoi. But he doesn't mean the husband and then through him eventually to her children. He only means the ones that come directly from my koyach, not from the koyach of my koyach. There is a good deal of discussion among Rishonim about the various angles on this, what exactly the distinction between Yarsi and Yarsoi. What exactly are the svaris of Rav Onan and Rav Huna? Anyway, so Sholcho Mitam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, a message saying, Huchsa Kavased Rav Onan V'lav Mitamei. The halacha is in fact like Rav Onan. So the husband and his children after him are not going to yarshin that property. Instead, it's going to go to whatever yarshin there are of the grandmother, which would be other branches of the family, but not based on his reason. The reason is not based on what he's saying, that Yosoi means not Yosi Yosoi, but rather a different reason. The halacha would be like Rav Onan, the husband doesn't inherit. But the reason would not be based on what on Rav Onan's consideration of the difference between Yosai, my Yoshim, and Yosi Yosoi. Namely, the Bnei Ma'arova had said, the Ilu Rav Onan Sover, Rav Onan would hold that that doesn't matter what kind of relative you're talking about. According to Rav Onan Svara, we would say, even if the daughter had a son who was still alive at the time, then he also wouldn't Yarshin, because it's still Yarsi Yarsoi. But the Bnei Ma'arova said, no, the Loihi, they say it's not like that. If the daughter had left a son, Vada Yoris, there's no question, say the Bnei Ma'arova, that he would inherit because he's usually in line to Yarshin, because as we learned earlier in the Perek, the daughter and all of her descendants go ahead of any other claimants to the property. So to begin with, Liarsoi means anybody who's in that direct line of inheritance. Anybody who's Roy to Yarshin him Minatora. The reason why the husband wouldn't yarshin is because of a different consideration, because it's only roi, it's not something that's in her possession at the time that the daughter died. It was something that was going to come to her when the grandmother died, but it hasn't yet. And as we've learned earlier in the parak, the husband does not inherit in roi, like in muchzer, just like we've been saying throughout the sugya, that a bechor doesn't get a double portion of roi, only of muchzer, only of what's actually in the father's possession at the time when he passes away. So it is also with the husband, as we learned earlier in the perek, based on asmachtas from various psukim. So therefore, the Bnei Ma'arava are saying, the Shulchan Mitam, which is Bnei Ma'arava, it's the same thing. It means the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael are saying, by the same token then, in our case, the husband is not going to Yarshin because relative to his wife, who's since passed away, it was only Roy to her when she passed away. It wasn't Moses. So the Gemara says, now Miklal, now, so the Bnei Ma'arava are saying that the halacha is like Rav Onan, they're just saying that there's a different consideration. It's only because it's a husband over here, only therefore is the halacha like him. Well, Miklal, did Rav Huna suffer note, bal note, or roi to a muchzak? Does that mean that Rav Huna holds that the husband does get roi just like muchzak? We learned earlier in the parak that it's not so. And nobody argued with that. So how do we understand, based on what Bnei Ma'arava are saying, on the distinction that they're making, it comes out Rav Onan's din would apply only to a husband, and if it was any other Yodish, then in fact the halacha would be that he gets it. Rav Huna, who's not making that distinction, seems to hold that even a husband would get it. Well, why is that if it's only Roy? So the answer is, Amar Rav Elazar, Dovaz and Niftach B'Gdolim V'Nistayim B'Ktanim. This matter has been opened up by the great ones, and it's going to be ended by the lesser ones. Meaning, in other words, Rav Elazar is saying on himself, this whole topic was first brought up by the great Rav Huna, and I, relative to Rav Huna, Rav Elazar is saying, I would consider myself a lesser person. I'm gonna explain it. I'm gonna explain what Rav Huna's svara is. The reason is, says Rav Elazar, because when you say that the property should go acharecha, after you, it should go to somebody else, then that's the equivalent of saying that it's me'achshav. It's as if you're saying that from now I'm being makne the guf. So in other words, what happens when this man said the nechosim should go to my grandmother, and after her it should go to my yoshim? So in effect, that's saying, I'm giving the goof of the land right now to my daughter, but meanwhile the grandmother has the right to eat payrus as long as she's alive. So therefore, Rav Nachman is going to consider that it's already in the possession of the daughter, mehayoyim l'achamisa, so therefore it can be considered muchzik, and therefore when the husband inherits it, it's not roi, he is in fact inheriting muchzik. So now, Omar Rabba, so now in that connection, Rabba points out, Mistabra Taimed of Bnei Ma'arava, the reasoning of the Bnei Ma'arava seems very logical, that no, we wouldn't say that, unlike Rabbi Elazar, we wouldn't say that the Nechosim are considered Mukhsif, the Kodim Savta Vizabna, because the fact is, if the grandmother were to go and sell the property while she's alive, Zvina Zvini would be a valid sale, because as long as she's alive, then, as long as she's alive, she has full rights over the property. Whereas, according to Rabbi Elazar Svara, we would say that that she can't, because she doesn't own the goof anymore. So that's a good reason to say that it's only considered roy, and therefore to draw the distinction that the Bnei Ma'arava did between the husband who can't yarshin within roy versus the husband who can't yarshin in roy versus other relatives, for example, children of that daughter who could. Since she could sell it, it would be a valid sale. Then therefore, that's going to be the concept when we talk about later on in the perek, when we talk about these dinim of acharecha, where a person says, "I'm giving my nechosim to you, and after you pass away, I want it to go to Pliny." Then the fact is, the first one does have the right to sell it. The Gemara later on says that anybody who gives him advice to do that is called a rosha, because he's preventing the yerusha from taking place the way the man wanted to. But the fact is, it is a valid sale, therefore, says Rabba, there's good reason to say that it should be considered only Rory. So that's what we mentioned on Omar Aleph, that Abaya had brought up that point to Rabba, that in that case, why are you considering Karka to be Mukhzik and the Bechor should get a double portion of it? And the answer was, again, that Rabba had said, I'm explaining only according to Bnei Ma'arava, I myself would hold differently. So this is all according to Rashbam. There's a considerable discussion among Rishonim about a lot of details of the sugi over here. In fact, there's a gusa that the Goinim have to begin with, that he didn't say Vasra Liyarsoi, that after the grandmother it should go to my Yoshim, but rather Vasra Liyarsa, after her it should go to her Yoshim. So according to that Gusa, then it means, in other words, to begin with, he's saying that whichever Yoshim of the grandmother are alive at the time are going to get it, and then the question is going to be whether that includes the daughter's husband, or whether it doesn't include him and doesn't include other Yoshim as well. So the Gemara finishes off to summarize some things that we've discussed over the last couple of datim. Omer Papa, Hilchsa ena bal nota b'roi k'v'mochsef. First of all, says your Papa, the husband does not get from property, does not inherit roi like he would mochsef, as we've said earlier in the perek. Now, that Rashbam points out, we're not talking about real roi. In other words, where the wife would have inherited something, but she passed away before she inherited it. Rav Papa doesn't need to tell us that. We already learned that earlier in the perek, and we said that everybody would hold. He doesn't yarshin it. Rather, what we're talking about is. We're talking about, for example, the roi that we were talking about before, when we had Rebbe and the Chachamim disagreeing on the Kuf Chavdal, about, for example, you have grain that has since grown, where when the father passes away, or in this case, the wife passes away, it's still unripe, and then later on it ripened. So that kind of roi, Rav Papa is saying that the husband doesn't get roy like muksa, there's no question, says the Rashbam, the husband would get that, because after all, he's yarshining all of her nechasim, and that includes anything that she was muksa in, so that includes this unripe grain. By a bechor, you can talk about whether there's a double portion or not. What Rav Papa wants to tell us is, in other words, again, by We're in the case of Roy Mamish. We're in a case like this that we just talked about. The wife would have inherited this property from the grandmother had she been alive, but now she passed away beforehand. That's when her papa is saying that that you should know the husband is not going to yarshin that in the end. So basically, in other words, like the Bnei Ma'arava said, that because the husband doesn't inherit from Roy like he would from Muchzeh, so therefore, her husband is not going to inherit this property. As we learned earlier in the, in the case of Acharecha, Rav Huna would disagree, but in the case where there was no Acharecha, then as we said earlier in the Perek, everybody would agree that the husband doesn't yarshin it. Tosfos actually brings up the point, what about then in that case, what about if she lent money to somebody and she hadn't collected the debt yet? So we discussed in the Gemara before whether that would be considered Roy or Muchzeh. So Tosfos says that that would still be considered Roy, even if she lent out Nichsim Malug, and therefore he wouldn't be entitled to it. Other Rishonim disagree. The Rosh holds that if it was Nichsim Malug, then since the husband has a certain ownership of it to begin with, then therefore he'd be able to collect it even after she passes away. And then the Rimi Gash holds, and there's also the Magen Mishnah learns that the Rambam learns this way as well, that he would be entitled to collect regardless, that for that purpose alone would never be considered Rory. So three different opinions of Rishonim. Anyway, so again, so the Papa is saying that the husband does not inherit Roy like he would Muchzeh. And again, we're talking about in this specific case over here involving Acharecha, where Rav Huna had held he would inherit, the Papa says he does not. In a case where there was no Acharecha, then there's no question he doesn't get from Roy, as we learned earlier in the Perek. Second of all, says Rav Papa, v'ein ha-bechor noto b'roi k'v'mukzik. A bechor doesn't get from Roy like Muchzeh, as we've been talking about the last couple of dafim. Again, what we mean is the kind of Roy versus Muchzeh, like the Chachamim had said, for example, unripe grain that has since ripened, or unripe dates that have still ripened, where now they have a new name. So therefore, he doesn't get a double portion of those. And we also said, on the other hand, when there's shvach that the Yisoyim themselves put in, for example, harvesting the grain, then also there's no question he doesn't get a double portion. Even Rebbe would agree with that. The Rashbam does point out here, though, the word Roy does have a bit of a different meaning than it did by the wife. Because if the Bechor passes away before collecting his Chelek Bechorah, then his children get it instead of him, as we had by Benos Slavchot earlier in our pattern. Anyway, so Bechor doesn't get a double portion of Roy to the Moksuk. And also, the Papa says, here's another din, the Eina Bechor, Noto Pishnayim, the Milva. As far as the Machlokas before about a Bechor getting a double portion of the Milva, where we had Rebbe and the Rabbanan, and we had Shmuel, and we had the Shochel Mitam, and so on and so forth, the Halacha would be a Bechor doesn't get a double portion of the Milva, Ben Shagavu Karka, Ben Shagavu Mois, whether in the end the loan was paid off with Karka or with money. So like Shmuel's opinion that we had before on Kuf Chavdal and Omer Beis. Not like the Bnei Ma'arava, not like a Meimar, etc. Tosfos points out also that for sure the Bechor doesn't get a double portion of the Shvach. We're not mentioning that because the Milva, we want to focus on the Milva over here because after all we said that the Milva might be considered Muchzeh, so therefore the Papa needs to tell us that not. Umilva She'ilmet Paugi, what about what about if the Bechor himself had lent money to his father, Palgi, then the Bechor is entitled to split that with his brothers. So he can keep half of it and give his brothers the other half because Momen Amutu B'Safik, we don't know whether that would be considered Muchzeh by his father, because the Bechor had borrowed money from his father. So he could be meshabed all of his property to his father for collection of the debt. So maybe it should be considered in the father's chazakah, but maybe not. Maybe it's no different than any other milva. So therefore, they would split it. Therefore, it's momen amutubos zafik. The Rashbam mentions there were other lashonis, but this is the correct lashon, he says. As far as when we just said in the Gemara before about Acharecha, the Rashbam says we don't hold like that. Tzedapapa has summarized the various things that we said in the last couple of sugyas, what the halacha is on them. But no, in fact, like Rabbi had said, after all, if in that case, for example, if the grandmother had wanted to sell that property, it would be a valid sale, and similarly with other kinds of things like that, so therefore it can't be considered me'achshav. Tosfos actually, as far as this that was saying, that when a milvah that the bechor borrowed from his father, that he would be entitled to half of it because of the suffix, Tosfos says not a matter of suffix, it's rather a special takonis chachamim in this case, says Tosfos. So that's the summary of the various dinim that we've been talking about the last couple of blocks, and then we're going to continue over the next couple of blocks to be talking more about the dinim of a bechor getting a double portion after having digressed a little bit to talk about dinim of Yerusha in general.